Now let's get into Jeff Ulbrich's audio from yesterday. We were talking earlier on the show how it got a little heated at camp, and Jeff Ulbrich had some comments about that intensity and maybe it going a little bit too far.
Yeah, we're trying to develop a culture, a style of play for sure. And part of that is the violence which we play and the aggression, the urgency and all that. Today at times, it went a little too far and we got to learn how to manage that. You're going to get agitated, especially when you're playing really good defense. The offense is going to get very agitated. So you got to anticipate punches being thrown, things being said, people getting pushed. And in those moments, you got to thrive and not retaliate. And so it's a good lesson to be learned today.
Well, yeah, and that's a lesson that you hope practice, you know, practice what whatever you do in practice bleeds over to a game. If you're throwing punches in practice, right, and letting your emotions go take yourself too far, that'll bleed over to the game because then that's kind of how you handle things. Also, there's a fine line between going too far, but the only thing that I had that does bug me, and I love the energy from like James Pierce and all that, the only thing that does slightly bother me is I do think that it overshadowed an otherwise really good practice he had. And you heard like Kirk Cousins pulled him aside after a batted ball and was like, hey, that was great. How'd you do that? You know, that's phenomenal intensity. I think most people are going to be talking about the fight and not the fact that he's had a really good couple of days.
Well, and you hear it there in Jeff Ulbrich's voice. The only people that actually probably dislike the fighting for the most part are coaches. Because what are you doing? When you're fighting, you spend so much energy on fighting for the players, and then as coaches and other players, you spend so much energy, you know, separating it or cooling it down or whatever you need to do in that aspect. And you lose reps at practice because of these kind of things, right? And so you don't want to ever risk the injury and things like that. So I hear what Jeff Ulbrich's coming from. It's like, we love the intensity, just a little bit over the line. You know, when you start punching helmets and everybody's throwing hands, things like that can happen. But I think Jeff Ulbrich kind of shares the same kind of takeaway I do. It's bound to happen. Like, this is just bound to happen when you have the intensity that you have during training camp, especially when you start to get a little bit tired of practice day three, day four.
Yeah, and he did kind of call out James Pierce Jr. specifically on being in a few of these skirmishes.
Yeah, he's prideful as it gets. You know, he loves this game. He's got deep love for his teammates, and he's prideful, and he wants to come out here and create a strong impression on everybody, himself included, that he can do this, and he can do this at a high level. And I think when you're in that place of just, like, every ounce of your body's trying to prove who you are, sometimes, like, it gets to that place where it can get a little wacky sometimes, and his anger got the best of him a little bit, and it's going to be a great learning experience for him. Now, what I'll say is the really promising part of all of that exchange was after the fact, a lot of young guys, after a moment of like real anger, frustration, and you know, getting out of whack, they're lost for practice. He was the opposite. It was like he reset, came back, took a deep breath, and I think he made three or four like really amazing plays after the fact. So it's promising.
And I love to hear that from Jeff Ulbrich when he says, you know, he loves the game. I think one of the biggest questions about James Pierce was, you know, how much does he – the questions surrounding his draft status and everything going in is, does he love the game? Does this, that, and the other? You know, is the work ethic there? If I hear Jeff Ulbrich say it, I have no reason to not believe it. I mean, Jeff Ulbrich's one of those guys that – and you can hear that in his voice. He's going to throw it out there. And sounds like he was a big proponent of what James Pierce was doing yesterday. And he was. Bo brings up a good point. One of the biggest takeaways, and Dylan and I had a chance to catch up with Abe, who watched practice, and it was like James Pierce was everywhere. In the backfield, batting down passes, picking things off, obviously talking trash and doing everything you're asking of him. So he's made an impression so far, definitely, for Coach Ulbrich as well.
Yeah, I love hearing Ulbrich talk about a young player like that. He talking about like he's out there to make an impression. You know, that's part of it. He's got something to prove. He's trying to show you why he was worth that trade up, right? And why everybody that doubted him was wrong. I don't know. I got a really good feeling about James Pierce Jr. And it's weird because I didn't during the draft process. Like, I really didn't. Like, during most of the draft process, I didn't have that great feeling. But 3 days in of practice, because they've only had 3 days of practice – 4 days of camp, technically, you kind of feel good about it, right? You kind of feel good about what it could be. So it's interesting to see it. Let's see what happens when the pads come on, and let's see what happens when they get in a preseason game. I know Braylon Trice is a guy that we loved last year. He's been the forgotten man at this camp, but he got in a little bit during the weekend, and you heard good things about it. He made a little bit of a, not noise, but the fact that people recognized him.
Well, and I want to stay on James Pierce for just a second, too. And I think you bring up a good point, is that when we talk so much, this is not talking season or list season or ranking season that we have so many times during the offseason. Like, we're right here in the beginning of training camp. And so, it's one step above that, but it's not quite the season you're going to get starting tomorrow when the pads come on. This is a little bit of talking season, right? It's you're able to do so many different things, particularly on a pass rush. And Dylan and I talked about it yesterday at times, because Saturday it comes out that the defense had a really good day. Olbrich had installed some blitzes Saturday. The blitzes are getting into the backfield and things like that. And my ultimate takeaway, and we actually talked a little bit to Lindstrom about this as well, is if a defense in a padless practice wants to start blitzing and wants to get in the backfield, there's really not a lot you can do about it as an offensive line. Like, what are you gonna step in and put your helmet up under the guy's chin when he's blitzing in the A-gap? No. Like, you're not gonna do that. You're gonna get in trouble by your coaches if you do that, and probably the NFLPA. It's literally outlawed. So if a Caden Ellis is blitzing in the B-gap and they're running a twist stunt and they want to get in the backfield, eventually they will. There's not much you can do about it. So, yeah, we'll find out about James Pierce. We'll find out about some of these other guys up front here in the next 48 hours, because they will be on the field with pads and they're going to be asked to do things a little bit differently than they would have done over the weekend. So physicality is going to take an uptick. There's no doubt about it, and we'll see. It's going to be fun starting tomorrow.
You know, and don't forget, when being the new guy somewhere, that comes with a little bit of something. Like, there's other guys on that field that probably look at him as a first round draft pick. Talking about James Pierce Jr. is like, well, you got to prove it. And he's heard those whispers from outside the building, and he knows that there's other guys that he feels like he's got to prove it to. I love the fact that Leonard Floyd came to his defense quickly, because that makes me think that, well, one, Leonard Floyd's trying to show that leadership, but two, I didn't see anything wrong with what James Pierce done, right? Maybe if he did, he probably would have broke it up, but he got in there with him. And I love a good fight. I know you used to fight all the time at practice. Mike was a fighter.
I was, until that I got told to stop. And there was a certain point in my rookie training camp where I've gotten three fights in like three straight days, and Mike Smith was like, all right, dude, I get it. Take it down a notch. Like, it's a little bit much.
What, was it you or Joe Holly that got kicked out one time?
He got kicked out. I think he got kicked out in reaction, because Mike Smith, after I had gotten a fight for a couple of days, was like, next person gets in fights, get kicked out. And it was a crossover. That was a crossover practice. I think it was against the Titans.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, he will be here not long.
Do you think Mike Smith knew it was you or Joe Holly?
I don't know. At the time, I don't know. I hope he knows that one was Joe.
Well, based on your experience, then, do you think anyone was pulled aside yesterday and was like, okay, look?
I think probably yesterday the whole team. Yeah. The whole team probably wasn't. Maybe it was. I mean, you have two scuffles in one practice. I don't know that it happened on the field. Like I said, we didn't have eyes on it, but I guarantee you, in the team meeting room, Raheem's like, all right, I get it. You know, we're tired, but at the end of the day, you got to focus on what you're trying to get accomplished on the field and making sure you're not doing something that you can't take back on the field, right? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Say, you know, I'm sure Raheem gave the old save the energy for the plays, you know, for between the whistles and things like that. And it is what it is, though, man. You're never going to stop it. And I will say this as well. The day that you show up on a Saturday and Sunday and it's practices three or four, whatever it is, and there's not scuffles, you should be a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
Because they're probably not at the right energy level.
And I agree with that. I got a question off of that. I know I listened to you guys for a couple hours yesterday. I was doing some yard work, doing some errands. You specifically gave Abe Gordon a checklist to look for.
I did.
How did he measure up?
Not great. Not great. And he told me off the rip, he was looking at my checklist. I sent him, what, six things or seven things?
Give us an example or two of what was on the checklist, like a detailed thing.
Okay.
I know that you can go in. When I talk to you sometimes, you'll go in a little bit of detail. And they'll, you know, and I'm not saying that I know more than A or anything, but there'll be times where I'm like, what exactly do you mean? Because I'm always trying to learn the game. I know Abe is as well.
Let me see. Okay, so I asked him who was the third wide receiver in the first group. This is the first question I asked him. I want to know who the third wideout is in the first group the first time they go 11 personnel. Should be Drake and Ray and who? Like, there's gonna, like,
yeah, because Darnell's not out there.
Right, Darnell's injured. Saturday it was Cadarrelle Hodge, and I wanted to know if that was going to continue into Sunday. And he just immediately failed. And he knew he was going to. He goes, looks like Ray's out with he's out there with the first group.
Well, that wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question, Ray though. I knew Ray was going to be out there with 11 personnel in the first group. I wanted to know who the other wide receiver was out there with Drake and Ray. I think we all knew And I said, it's probably going to be Kadarius Hodge. And he just said, well, Ray's out. First snap I saw, McLeod with the first team offense. That was exactly
that
what he said.
Wasn't the question.
Because second snap, both he and Hodge were out there. That's still not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
That's still not what I'm trying to say.
I think that just shows the depth of knowledge
you have,
though.
I try. Like, literally, and Dylan can attest this. We're in a group that I tried to dumb it down as far as I could just to be like, I don't blame you if you can't answer this, but this is what I want to know.
Who's holding the ball?
And he was like, dude.
You tried your best to make it as elementary as possible. I will give you credit on that.
The explanation for some of this is one of the reasons Mike's asking that is they did sign DJ Shark off on Friday night, I think, who apparently Easton Stick was just singing the praises of, who because he worked out with him during the offseason, which I know I think Josh Kendall told Dylan and Mike that yesterday. That's where I heard that tidbit. But so you kind of figure out where DJ Shark is in that chart, right, in that list. But the other thing is Abe is kind of a guy that prides himself on knowing more than everybody. And he does this little goofy eye roll and smirk. And I bet he did that when Mike asked him.
His response was this. I know we got to get a break. His response was, I'll see what I can do. I don't really watch practice in that manner, but I will try. I usually watch to see whether a pass is a drop, a bad throw, or a throwaway. Plus anything that just pops out. But just so you know what level of sophistication you're working with. So he laid it out there, and I appreciated the efforts.
What I heard from that is, I just watched practice to see who I can criticize.
Well, we're going to be out there to see the Falcons at training camp tomorrow. It will be interesting to see what changes when pads come on, just like Mike mentioned. And coming up, we're going to go in the huddle. A rookie finally got to sign his deal. We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.